Welcome to a brand new episode of the Borderless Voices podcast presented by the FCJ Refugee Center.
Welcome to Permission to Exploit, a Borderless Voices special series focusing on closed work permits and labor exploitation, presented by the FCJ Refugee Center.
Permission to Exploit, the system behind the exploitation of temporary foreign workers. When your immigration status as a temporary foreign worker depends on your employer, power shifts. Permission to Exploit is a podcast that combines lived experience specialists and professional specialists' insights to examine Canada's closed permit system and the reforms needed to make it safer. Episode 2, Employer-Tied Closed Work Permits, The Structural Root, Why Tying Status to One Employer Creates Vulnerability. We're here today with Kenny, who experienced workplace labor exploitation right here in Ontario. Today, we're going to ask him a few questions about how having a closed work permit created vulnerabilities for him. Hi, Kenny.
Hello.
My first question for you is, when you realized that your work permit was tied to a specific employer, how did that change the way you felt at work?
I realized my work permit was tied to a specific employer, to the employer of the company I used to work. Within a week, or within the second week, I realized that the permit that I have is not to just work for anyone in Canada, but only for this specific company, this specific farm. Mm-hmm.
Did your employer or supervisor ever remind you that your ability to stay in Canada depended on the job that you had?
Well, definitely. It's a constant reminder from the employers that you are here to work for them. And if you are not putting the job they required of you, it's best that they send you home, or at times they won't even notify you on that occasion. They will just randomly, you see the HR or other representative in the departments coming that and say, oh, you have to stop what you're doing. Your service has been canceled, similar as to what they did to me. Of course, you are not prepared to receive that information after getting up so early in the morning, before 5:30, you wake in the morning to be on the bus by 5 o'clock and to start work by 6. You see the employers or the representative in the administrative departments coming and telling you that you are canceled. It is really heartbreaking and nerve-wracking to me.
Yeah. If you ever had concerns about the hours, about the pay, about safety on the job, or about being worked too hard, or not being given your break, did you feel comfortable and empowered to raise your concerns?
I have concern about my work hours when it came to my knowledge that I have to request time off the job because there is no time off schedule. So you would have to request a time off on the job. So on the first week I was on that job, I was doing 15, 14, 13 hours, 13 to 15 hours. And I was asking which day would I would get in my day off. And they said, no, I would have to request that. That is after 2 weeks in the job. When I put in my request, the first request, I was told that day is full. So I have to wait until another week before I could get a day. Mm-hmm. Pushing back on the hours and giving and the task given to us will be an automatic suspension of duty and sent home. They will not ask, they will not question, they will just prepare your ticket and send you home. So, of course, you're not going to find no one pushing back at the hours, we all just have to band together and pull through.
Were there ever any moments while you were working that you felt like your employer or supervisors had leverage over you, had control over you? For example, maybe to make you work extra hours, to do work that you weren't supposed to be doing for your role, or even to work without pay?
I felt the leverage pressure from my employer, former employer. When the hours that we work, we are told we are not supposed to leave. And when I questioned it, they said other employees who were there before me, I said, it's a random thing they will do. So don't complain about it. If you mention about it, they will stop you. So, of course, nobody really mentioned, but after a break, they will give us like 15-minute break within those extra hours. Instead of an half an hour break, 30 minutes break, we get 15 minutes break. The pressure come again is like they have a strategy. On our lunch break, within an hour break, they will cut down the hour to like 45 minutes. So within 45 minutes, you hear the first bell ring. And within the next 5 minutes, you're supposed to be at your station. So they scaled, 15 minutes from that. So it become more intensive on you and more pressuring on you. That's when you realize this permit and this work here is like exploiting to the highest level. Because you have no time for yourself. And of course, when you finish that job, you get home to the bunk. There is a bunk house with 25 people, 24 people, four stove, just a small bathroom for 24 people, all to get back, relax, cook meal for the other day. And that's when you realize the overwhelm feeling the employer powered the employer got over you. Another example, you will be working within your hours, so you got your first break and you get into the cafeteria. Randomly you hear the supervisor stop you and say, not your break time now, come, you go finish that while somebody is on a break. And it depends. It depends on what the person is doing. That person might not be back at that station, so you will be the one completing that job. And of course, we'd have to go back to complete your job. So your break would only cut to like a 15 minute to go drink on something to rehydrate and get back to the work.
Did you ever think about leaving your job? And what risks did you believe you would face if you did try to leave?
Yes, certainly. Sure, it have crossed in my mind a couple of times to seek employment at other farms or at other companies within the area. But that's when most of the time you get to find out how the condition of your work permit and how you go by it. You know, the risk will probably be high, but given that the information is unknown to you, you rather to take that chance and stay back to find that information. So it's either to decide if you're gonna go back home or if you're gonna decide to stay here to be a resident within Canada.
That must have been hard. And if you had to explain to another worker, or maybe even to a Canadian who isn't aware of how the closed work permit system works, how would you explain it, this system, and the issues with it?
If I should explain to someone about the employee tied work permit system, I will tell them to be prepared. Be utmost prepared to do whatever, 24/7. Be prepared. To see blind, hear, and deaf, and be prepared to work at any means necessary. Be prepared to come in a system where you're not the only one, but it is just what required if you need to be employed, keep employed by the company you are employed to. You come in expecting that you will be working within certain conditions, but the condition is totally different and the requirement is way exhausted. So you have to be prepared to work hard and dedicated to prove. You have to always be proving to yourself and to your employee that you are here to work.
Kenny, is there anything you'd like to say to anyone who might be listening and might be in a similar situation right now to the one that you were in?
I would say to others who are in the same situation I was in and still working on in other cases, what I would say to them is to be educated. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to research. Don't be afraid to ask anyone for help. Don't be afraid, because there are groups like the FCJ here who work with people, help you to get back on your feet, and help you to get on track whatever you have in mind to do. So I would say to people, get educated on the way and the know-how.
All right. Thank you so much, Kenny.
We have Anita from Legal Assistance of Windsor. Anita, when listeners hear your name in this episode, what is the one thing you want them to immediately understand about your work?
I think the biggest thing that I'd want people to understand is that our work is really about supporting migrant workers while they navigate a system that often puts them in impossible situations. We want to make sure people know their rights and have the support that they need, but also being honest about the fact that a lot of the harm isn't just accidental. It's actually built into how these systems are designed. So for example, I've worked with people who are dealing with unsafe working conditions or not being paid properly, but the real issue isn't just that one employer. It's the system that makes it incredibly risky for them to leave or to speak up in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Now, to start, in simple terms, what is the employer tight or closed work permit? And how is it different from an open work permit?
So in simple terms, a closed work permit ties a worker to one specific employer. So if they leave that job, they'll lose authorization to work in Canada. An open work permit gives workers freedom, choice, and mobility to move between jobs. What that looks like in real life is that someone on a closed permit might be working long hours in difficult conditions, but they can't just quit or find something else. Whereas someone with an open work permit has that option, so they can leave and look for more safe and fair work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why does tying a worker's immigration status to one employer shift the balance of power in the workplace based on your experience and your knowledge?
Sure. Well, it gives employers a level of control that goes way beyond a typical workplace relationship. So for many workers, their job is tied to their housing, their income, or their ability to stay in the country. So losing that job can mean literally losing everything at once. I've seen situations where workers are aware their rights are being violated, but they'll say things like, I can't risk it, or I need to keep this job to feed my family or to send money back home. And that tells you how high the stakes are for workers.
Yeah, that's true. How they depend on that job, right? And in practice, how do employers use that power or status leverage over workers?
Sometimes it's very direct. Workers being told things like, if you don't like it here, you can go home, or we won't renew your contract if you keep causing trouble and speaking up. Other times it's more subtle. A worker raises a concern and suddenly their hours are reduced, or housing conditions are poor, and they speak up about that, but the complaints are being ignored. Workers are expected to do like extra tasks beyond their job descriptions, without pay because they don't feel that they can say anything and speak up about that or say no. I've also seen cases where just the fear of being replaced keeps people quiet, even if no explicit threat is made. And I think, it's worth mentioning that there's, whisper networks happening too amongst the workers. So, they're sharing their experiences or knowledge of, oh, I heard this one person experience this, so you better not say anything. And so it's just that constant looming fear that really reinforces that power over the workers.
When you say all of these things, like people can say, like, if the job is bad, just leave, right? But what barriers make leaving extremely risky for those workers on close work permits?
I mean, in theory, they can leave, but because leaving isn't just quitting, it can mean losing your income, losing your housing, losing your status. This is a massive loss all at once. Many workers live in employer-provided housing, so if they leave their job, they may also leave their place to live immediately, which plunges them into homelessness. On top of that, applying for a new permit or other pathways takes time. So during that gap, people can be left without income or stability, which makes leaving almost impossible.
Yeah, the other thing that you already mentioned is that they also depend on that to send money back home or to pay debts. So it's even bigger, like it's worst,
Yeah,
right?
I think when we say just leave, like that comes from a place of privilege. Like that's such an oversimplified response to somebody that is in a very different situation. Being tethered to one employer, and that is part of your contract. That is part of how you were able to come and be authorized to work in Canada. And so you can't just leave.
Yeah, it's not as simple as it looks like,
Right.
right? So even the workers technically have legal rights in Canada, why do those rights often feel impossible to use in real life?
I mean, on paper, workers do have some rights, but accessing them requires a level of safety and stability that many workers don't feel that they have. Someone might want to report unpaid wages, but is worried that the employer will retaliate against them. A worker may not know where to go for help or how. May not have the transportation to access services. They may not be aware that, clinics like our clinics exist. Language barriers can make it harder or deter them from even wanting to attempt to take this on, to apply for an open work permit or to talk about their experiences. So even though rights exist, the conditions needed to actually use them often don't exist.
Correct, mainly when they're working like in remote areas or rural areas and they do not have access to transportation or like those means to really access to those supports, right? So if one policy change could reduce this vulnerability the fastest, what would it be for you? What do you think?
I mean, automatically abolish the closed work permit system. Like it is so harmful. We need to move away from employer-tied work permits. Every worker should be given an open work permit upon arrival. At the very least, mind you, at the very least. So when workers have the ability to leave and find other work, it changes everything. It means they're not forced to stay in unsafe and unfair situations. So right now, the system relies on workers staying tied to that one employer. If that link or that tether is removed, a lot of that vulnerability is reduced immediately. Yeah, I would say that.
Is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners in relation to this topic before we finish?
Yes, I would. Thank you for the invitation to do so. I think sometimes, or something that often gets missed in these conversations, is that we are relying on migrant workers who are overwhelmingly racialized to sustain essential parts of our economy here in Canada, especially in sectors like agriculture, that literally puts food on our tables. They should have the same rights as Canadian workers, period, point blank. But at the same time, we're essentially building parts of that economy on their labor while public narratives continue to frame migrants as the problem, or as people, we're seeing pe that r problematic rhetoric saying they're taking our jobs, or, it's a very dangerous anti-immigrant, anti-migrant rhetoric that is circulating right now and swaying and informing public opinion, which then in turn informs, like policy changes and so on and so forth. So, but that doesn't reflect the reality of the work they're doing or the conditions they have to work in. In many cases, they're filling roles that are undervalued and difficult, under conditions that many others would not work under. So I think that's really important to mention. And I think as long as the workers are kept temporary and tied to one employer, that vulnerability is just always going to be there. So it must be
It's
addressed.
true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
And then we're seeing things like Bill C-12 and Stronger Borders Act. So folks like workers that want to explore permanent pathways, that just creates an additional barrier for them too. So the climate is tricky right now, but
it's true. Yeah.
we can't get discouraged in this moment. We just simply need to work harder, work collaboratively, and re-strategize to make sure that we're attending to the need.
Okay, well, Anita, thank you so much for being here with us today. When a worker's right to stay in Canada depends on one employer, power is never equal. And in that imbalance, vulnerability is not accidental. It is built into the system. In the next three episodes of Permission to Exploit, we will see how control is enforced, showing us how exploitation is maintained. Thanks for listening. To never miss an episode, subscribe to Borderless Voices at fcjrefugeecenter.org, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.